Book of James. We've got two more messages. So today and then next week will be the final message in the book of James. And so we've looked at count it all joy. We talked about the words that we say, to choose our words wisely, listen quickly, slow to become angry, slow to become speak. We talked about what true faith is. Just do it, right? Sometimes we just need to do what the Word of God says. So we got that message. Relational wisdom was last week. How to address prejudices in our own heart, to live with humility, and treat people justly. So today we're talking about undefiled. How can we live in a sinful world without getting dirt on us, getting dirty? It's a good question. I think it's one that is probably one of the more practical messages out there. And James, to me, is very practical. And we've talked about this, that he's very black and white. He doesn't kind of sugarcoat it. He just kind of hits you right between the eyes, okay? And so it works for him, all right? I maybe soften it a little bit, but James is very black and white, and he addresses it. And you're going to see that in our passage today. Amen. And then the last message next week will be just the prayer of faith. I don't know if that's what I'll call it, but I think that's maybe what I'll call it. That last part of James chapter 5 just talks about the prayer of faith that is able to heal. And so we had some great testimonies today about that, right? That very thing. So I'd like to give, maybe the message will be a little bit shorter. I think it will be. That's my plan, is to make the message a little bit shorter and to pray for people at the end. And just to do that in accordance with Scripture, to offer that prayer of faith to God. And allow God to do what He wants to do. Sometimes when we come forward for prayer according to Scripture, God heals. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes it's even just those simple prayers that we don't even realize that are taking place that God answers. So all I know is that God answers our prayers. Amen? Praise God. We are going to be in chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. I am going to just highlight James 1:27. The part of that, but mostly we are going to be in chapter 4, 1 through 12. All right. So let's bow our heads in prayer before we dive in. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. It is able to shape, correct us, guide us, encourage us, comfort us, show us the way to know you, to follow your ways, Lord. And so, Lord God, give us an open heart to hear. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to your church. And we give you the thanks. We ask it in your name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Verse 27 says, of chapter 1, it says, religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So the key part we're going to key in on there is being polluted by the world, right? Polluted by the world. And then you go to chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you what? Kill. Now, is James writing to a secular audience or... No, he's writing to believers in Christ. Brothers and sisters, he calls them. Interesting. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. I want it. Sounds like kids, doesn't it? So you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So they are asking God for provision, but it's mainly more for pleasure things. It's not for needs. Verse 4, you adulterous people. So there's a good word, right? They are being unfaithful to God, right? Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? And I know you use that word a lot in your vocabulary. So if you want to impress somebody, just use that word this week. Just go, man, there's a lot of enmity in our world, right? hostility. Okay? It means hostility against God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or don't you think that Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused us to dwell within us? But he gives us more grace, and that is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humility opens the door for a lot of things. Verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay, so he's being pretty just straightforward, right? Grieve, mourn, and wail. These are all imperatives, commands. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in the judgment on it. You know, God has never called us to judge. There's times as a pastor I have to make judgment calls. But I cannot judge a person's heart, their motives. But God sees that all, right? He's the judge. Verse 12. There's only one lawgiver and judge, and the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Especially with the way they were living, right? So what are some things we can pull away from our passage today? James begins in that, you know, in that chapter 1, he kind of highlights a few different things. And so we've kind of gone from chapter 1 and then see where he covers that topic later in the book, right? We've done that for several of the messages. And so he talks about pure religion is keeping oneself from being polluted by this world. From being polluted by the world. I think we can understand that, right? What does he mean by world? Well, polluted, we know that it means to be stained or the purity is called into question, right? So if I had a polluted cup of water, I probably wouldn't want to drink it because it had poison or something harmful in it, right? And that is a common issue, right? That with wells, they have to be tested because maybe they have too high of lead or other things that can be in there, right? We don't want that to be polluted because then it would also pollute us and harm us. He says to be polluted by the world. So what's the world? Is, you know, I like being out in creation, right? I like taking a walk and enjoying nature. Is that going to pollute me? Is that going to harm me? No. So what does he mean by world? Well, he means the people that constitute the world, whose values, their morals, their beliefs are in contrast and opposed to God's. It's a world system. One commentator says, to keep oneself unstained from the world means to avoid thinking and acting in accordance to the value system of the society around us. So we live in the world, and we can be at work, we can be at school, we can be at our local grocery store, and there are things that we see that are probably good, and there's things that we see that probably are not good, and we are not to allow the bad things to rub off on us. That is how we would be polluted. The society reflects, by and large, beliefs and practices that are unchristian, if not actively anti-Christian. The believer who lives in the world is in constant danger of having the taint of that system rub off on them. How true that is. So, have you ever tried to work in the garden or your backyard with your good clothes on, your suit and your tie, go out there and work in there, right? We usually don't do that, right? But sometimes it's kind of like you're going out to something, it's kind of like, oh, that needs to be taken care of. But whenever you do that, there's a danger that you're going to brush up against something, right? And get those good clothes dirty, right? Yeah. So usually we put on work clothes to go work outside. When we accept Christ into our life, he extends to us his righteousness. So we did communion this morning. And if we could illustrate that he gives us a robe of righteousness, right? Scripture says that. It's white, it's clean, it's pure. Our sin has been removed. It's clean, it's pure. But then we go out in the world with a white robe and we brush up against our dirty car. We go into the grocery store. We go about and what happens? It gets dirty, right? It gets stained. How can we live in a sinful world, a world that doesn't have values and beliefs that align with God's, and still remain clean and pure and holy? It's not easy to do. We could isolate ourselves, right? Sign up to be a monk. There was a certain time in Christian history that the monks were very prevalent, and they would go off to a cave or a retreat center, and they would just isolate, right? Right? Does that keep you from being polluted by the world? Maybe some, right? There's something to that, but I think you're still going to have temptations that come your way, even in your quiet space. Am I right? So, and I don't think that's God's picture. I don't think God wants us to go isolate and have no contact with our world, because he's called us to be the light of the world, right? He's called us to be the salt of the world. He's called us to be a witness, and we can only do that if we are out in the world. So what is God, does he want us to be in it, or does he not want us to be in it? He wants us to be in it. But how can we do it without having it rub off on us? I'm going to illustrate a little more, and then we're going to dive into the points here. But growing up, and still to this day, I like to be out in public with people in public spaces, if you want to call it that. I just remember right when I graduated from high school, I graduated and I went right to work for my dad, working construction up in Alaska. And, you know, every other word was a cuss word and you know. And I just remember coming home at nights, even though that wasn't part of my vocabulary, those things were still going through my head. Can you identify? And maybe you work in that work environment. Or at school, right? The dirty jokes. Again, just not cuss words, but dirty jokes. Or the things that you may see, right? And so this is why I've kind of tried to navigate this, is I like to be out in public, especially in public places. Okay? And that's how I connect with people. I am very cautious, and I put boundaries upon when I go connect with people in a more private space, if that makes sense. So, hey, we're having a party, all right? So there's some red flags there, right? Because there's probably going to be things happening there that are not Christian. So maybe I'll connect with that person in a private place, at school, at work, out and about doing things in town. But I'm not going to probably be part of that private event, because I know that's going to put me in a place where the world could rub off on me. Is that making sense? So, I try to be out in public connecting with people, but I am very discerning about the things that I do, who I spend private time with. All right. In our passage, James mentions selfish ambition, greed, hatred. Man, you wouldn't think he would mention this amongst Christians, but he does. Sins usually fall into three categories. I think we've covered this in the last month, but there's the sins of the flesh. John mentions these, 1 John. The sins of the flesh, so that's sex, that's pleasure. It can even be food. Did you know food, gluttony, is a sin? Yeah, we don't preach about that much, but it is. Sins of the eyes. Okay, the lust of the eyes, so that's lust, it's greed. Lust is just not sexual, it can be very much just a strong desire that we see something that somebody else has and we want it, okay? And then the third one is the pride of life, fame, significance. You know what, we all need to feel that significance, but it needs to come from God. And sometimes we crave it from the world, and often that leads us into bad places because we give up our values and our beliefs that guide us. So how can we live an undefiled life in this sinful world and not let it rub off on us? So in verses 7 through 10, James gives us some imperatives, some commands. So we're going to break these down into 3 points. All right. The first one is submit your life to the lordship of Christ. Submit your life to the Lordship of Christ. Submit is a military term. It means to place yourself under somebody else, your subordinate. Woo! Who wants to do that? Right? We want to be the top dog. We want to be number one. And James says, we need to submit our lives to the Lordship of Christ. When I lead us in the salvation prayer at the end of the message, I do that, try to do that every Sunday. But I always say, you know, God, forgive us of our sins, but also be the Lord of my life. That is that submission part. He has to be the Lord of my life. Not, it's great that he's my Savior, right? That he went to the cross for me. But unless he's the Lord of my life, I'll never live a life that glorifies him and honors him. Because as long as Brent is on that throne, Brent's going to want to do what he wants to do, and sometimes that's going to be contrary to what God wants to do. All right? Submitting means giving our life to God, living in accordance with His Word, and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to obey what the Word of God says. Imagine you have, so we have parents here with young kids, and you put on these nice clothes. You're going to a wedding, you're going to church, you're going someplace nice. And you say, hey, you put on these nice clothes, and you say, hey, don't get your clothes dirty, right? How often has that not happened? And that's what God is kind of saying to us, isn't he? He's given us his robe of righteousness. He's extended to us his righteousness. And he goes, I want you to go out in the world, but don't get dirty. Right? We have to obey his word. But God, you know, I obeyed you on this, this, and this. It's just this one area. James says, if we obey all the law, except at one point, we've broken it all, right? Because we live in this world, you will be tempted. So let's go there. You will be tempted. It's not maybe you'll be tempted. You will be tempted. Pastors get tempted. Everybody in this room will be tempted in some way, shape, and form. Jesus was tempted. He didn't sin, but he was tempted, folks. And it was very real. It attacked him in a lot of those three areas: the pride, throw yourself off the temple, the food, providing for yourself, your own needs. Yeah. So, because we live in this world, we will be tempted. It may be the image that pops up on your computer or phone, right? You're not maybe even looking for it, but it just pops up there. I find out being a guy, more things pop up on my phone than it does for my wife. She sees totally different advertising than I do. You don't have to go looking for it sometimes. It could be a TikTok video that is overly sexual in nature and that uses bad language. And those videos are addictive, whether they're on Facebook, YouTube, or TikTok. You watch one, can you just stop at one? Tell me. It's hard to, isn't it? It's hard to. And sometimes those aren't taking us in the best places, right? Or maybe you have friends and family that have a nice house, car, clothes, and you are tempted. Well, desired in your heart, and you think, God, it's not fair. Or maybe you're tempted to steal, to cheat, to use illegal means to get money to live in that lifestyle. You open up the paper, folks, people that you would not think, they seem like common sense people that embezzle money from their company, from their business, from places. They do eventually, don't they, Clarence? Yeah. But why? Because they see what others have, and it's kind of like they see this, I want it. Maybe you're tempted to gossip. Everybody else is doing it at school, at work. I can gossip, right? Maybe I'm tempted to drop the F-bomb or other explicitives at work and school. People are doing it. I want to fit in. Do I need to keep going? Because you and I live in a real world, our beliefs, our values, and behaviors are going to be, they're going to be challenged by what we see in our world. And there's going to be that danger of being tainted by it, polluted, for it to rub off on us.
We have to submit our lives to God and say, God, you have to be Lord, because there's going to be times where I want to do something else and God's word saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that. It's going to be like, God, I don't know, maybe you don't have those times. But I think a lot, I've talked with a lot of people working through a lot of things. We don't always express it, and that's been one of the things that people have expressed to me, is why don't people talk about it? Why don't we talk about the temptations we face? We're human beings, folks, that deal with real things. We need to talk about those in a safe place, but also to encourage one another. But the bottom line is we are to live for God and surrender our life to God, and there will be always be a tension there. But what I do find is that if we give ourselves completely to God and say, God, I surrender, I submit my life to God, it's most of the battle, because then there's only one way, and that's whose way? It's God's way. Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2 then kind of gets to this being polluted. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. Give your life completely to God. 1 Corinthians, Paul says in 10:13, no temptation is overtaking you except what is common to man. In other words, temptation, Satan isn't going to give you this special temptation that nobody has ever faced. It's common to man. We're all tempted. We all maybe have our unique areas that are more vulnerable, but there's been other people that have had that same temptation. Okay, just take a, all right? But here's the cool thing. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. James puts it a little more bluntly. He says, resist what? The devil, and he will flee from you. Sometimes we make it more complicated than it is. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The only way we can live a godly life in a sinful world is we have to daily submit my life to God. But I prayed the prayer and I did it back in, folks, daily, maybe sometimes multiple times a day, you're going to have to yield your life to God. Say, God, here's my life. It's yours. I surrender it to you. It's an offering to you. Amen? Number two, practice daily confession and repentance. So these all kind of tie together. You know, any of the clothes I wear each day, I end up washing, right? And all the moms here say, you know, especially if you have kids and stuff, right? You have mounds of laundry, right? Old kids too. Why do we need to wash them? Well, for me, I sweat. I brush up against something, you know, it's, I don't know, why do guys sweat more than women? You know, my wife can, I don't know. You know, I eat my salad with my homemade balsamic vinegar dressing. You know what, those spinach and those lettuce leaves, you pick them up and they just like to flip the oil. Where does it flip to? Right on here, right? That doesn't come off very easily. It's a stain, right? I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just eating a good salad. And I get it on me. Most of the time, a simple wash gets things cleaned. At times, we need to use the shout or some kind of stain remover. But here's the deal. If you're going to be in the world, we have to daily be confessing our sins and coming to God in repentance. I think... sometimes in the church you see that religious spirit, and it comes from that we think, oh, the person thinks I'm doing this, 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 and this that the church is asking of me, but in our hearts are not pure. We haven't been practicing confession in our heart. We get judgmental. Confession and repentance. I've shared about the examine. That was some of the early church fathers wrote that. He wrote it. But to end each day just with a time of confession, saying, God, forgive me of anything, a thought, an attitude, a behavior that didn't line up with your word. And some of you may be there for a while, right, Roger? It'll put you to sleep, right? but you confess those things to God. And then you say, God, now give me the strength to live tomorrow better. And it's a good way to end your day, saying, God, how was my day? And how can I live it better? David said in Psalms 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. David said, hey, I have my own blind spots. I have my things that I can't see. Search my heart. Know it. And John, I already mentioned 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When I think of repentance, we don't hear much preaching on repentance. Repentance is more than feeling sorry for what we did. It is a change in direction. It really means a 180. And I know some of you have done 180s, but it has not been in that. It's been in your car. Okay? All right. Probably burning some rubber. All right. A 180, okay? It means to change that. I was heading down my way, now I'm turning towards God. Will God, if we confess our sins and repent, will God relent? And the answer is yes. Think about Jonah. He goes to Nineveh. He's the reluctant prophet. God, he doesn't want to go there because they're the enemy. And he also knows that God is gracious, and if he goes there and preaches, maybe God will spare judgment on them. He goes there and he preaches, and guess what? They respond to his preaching. And I don't think it was the best preaching because I don't think his heart was all in it. But they hear the word of God. They humble themselves. They fasted. They prayed. And guess what? God forgave Nineveh of their sins. It is one of the greatest revivals that we see in Scripture of God repenting. If he did it for Nineveh, he'll do it for us. But we need to daily come before God in confession and repentance because it keeps our heart pure. It's like washing our clothes on a daily basis, saying, God, if I get rubbed up against something, get it off right now, right? If you get a stain out right away, if you deal with it right away, it usually will come out, right? What happens if you just let it sit there for a long time? It gets set, right? We use that word set. If you let sin set in your life, the harder they are to get out. I think God has just spilled, that was just there, okay? The longer we let it sit there, the longer it gets ingrained in our life. Number three, hold with me just a couple more minutes if you would. Submit yourselves to the Lordship of Christ. Practice daily confession and repentance. The last one is live each day in the presence of God. And Mary Ellen, if you can grab Amy. I'm going to do the closing here real fast, okay? Live each day in the presence of God. That means to daily draw near to God. It is there that we are cleansed. It is there that we are renewed. It is there that we are changed and transformed, is in God's presence. You ever been in that church service or gathering and God's presence is so powerful? And it's there that we're changed, right? God was there. We need to live each day in his presence. What hinders that? I'm looking for a word. Prohibits it. Sin. Sin does. And so these previous two points tie right into this because if we haven't been confessing our sins and repenting of them, then there becomes that sin in between us and God, and we can't come near to him. We stand back here because we feel condemned. We don't. There's a distance between us and God, and so we don't daily come before him. In Hebrews, we don't know who the author is, but he says, let us draw near to God. Verse 22, jump to 22, please. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that God brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us draw near to God. Why? Because he's forgiven us of our sins. He's cleansed us. He's purified us. Especially when we come to him daily, confessing and repenting and living our lives in submission to him. So as the musicians come forward, I think of Adam and Eve. We talked about this on Wednesday night. They had this wonderful relationship with God. They walked with him in the cool of the day, right? Wouldn't that be cool? Right? Okay. Right? Walking with God in the cool of the day. How can you beat that? Just the three of them. But what ruined the picture? Sin. And they weren't looking at pornography. They weren't embezzling. They ate and, well, we don't know it was an apple. But they took from the fruit from the tree they weren't supposed to, right? Man, that doesn't seem like bad. It's like stealing a cookie from the cookie jar. We've probably all been guilty of that, haven't we? Don't eat those cookies. And we do. They disobeyed God. And from that moment on, sin entered the picture. And that relationship was no longer there that they once had. That's when God put in motion the plan that he would send his son to the cross. It's in the following chapter, chapter 3. Actually, maybe it's all in the same chapter there. To deal with sin, because sin separates that relationship with God. There's nothing better than the presence of God. David said in Psalms 84, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. We do live in a world that is contrary in opposition to the life that God calls us to do. I don't think his plan is to isolate. I think his heart is that we engage our world. But the only way that we can engage our world without being polluted, without being undefiled, or defiled, there we go, without getting dirty, is by living in submission to him. That confession and repentance, and drawing close to God each and every day. What if we left... Before we left the house each day or started each day, what if we knew that we went into God's presence and just, whether it was 5 minutes, just said, God, I'm in your presence. How would that impact the rest of our day? How would it impact the thoughts that I have, the things I have in my heart, the things that I do, the things that I pursue, the things that I run after, the things that I desire? How would it impact that when I've spent my presence in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I truly believe that's the only way that we are changed and transformed is when we draw close to him. One of the greatest things that inhibits our relationship with God today may not seem so sinful, but I think it begins with B. It's called busyness. The busyness of our world. I'd rather see people busy than sitting in their lazy boy doing nothing, but we still have to make that room for God, don't we? For him to move in our lives. So we sang that song earlier. We're going to close it again. Would you stand with me this morning? James gives us some pretty strong directives, but sometimes we need it straight. We need it straight. Submit, practice confession, repentance, live in his presence. Amen. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, if there's any doubt, we're just going to join together in prayer. Make that your prayer. I believe that begins the process and God honors it. to know Him as your Lord and your Savior. So let's pray together, saying, Dear God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me and purify me. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you make an altar where you're at this morning, and as we sing this through and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak? What is God speaking to you? Allow the Holy Spirit to make this, to take the step further, just to drill down and hit the areas that you're wrestling with in your mind, in your heart. Let Him speak to you this morning. Father, you know what you are speaking to us. God, may we lay those things down before you. And not just today, but daily, to submit, to confess and repent, to come before you and enter your presence, Lord God. We need to come before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's holy, who's awesome, who knows all things and he sees all things, who holds life in his hands. Who brought all things into existence, and who is our very breath. Lord, that's open to all of us. Let us press in, chase after that, not the things of this world, but let us chase after you and follow after you. Lord God, we give you the praise, we give you the glory. We ask it in your precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, hey, God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave.